Hey guys, this is Dustin Collins, and you're listening to the Music Journey Show with my friend Kim Sear.
Met a girl in Saginaw, and she fell in love with my Georgia draw. When work took me up there last spring, she got a kick out of watching my mouth when I'd say things we'd say down south. Funniest things you'd ever heard or seen. Oh, I miss her and wish she was here in Savannah, and we could be watching the sunset, dancing on the sand to the music of an old blues band, singing all those old sweet songs. She would have crossed that Mason-Dixon line, we'd be falling in love on the beach tonight, instead of dreaming about the time she has Georgia on her mind.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single When She Had Georgia on Her Mind with Nashville country artist Dustin Collins. Coming off his highly acclaimed album It's Been a While, which debuted at number one on the Billboard Heat Seekers South Central Albums chart and included his number one on the Billboard Single Sales Chart independent single Cold Dead Hands, Dustin Collins released his title track Working Man in May of this year, and now he has just released his second single When She Had Georgia on Her Mind off his upcoming album Working Man. Here to talk about his new single and upcoming album is Nashville country artist Dustin Collins. Hi Dustin, it's great to have you on the show.
Hi there, I'm glad to be on the show.
We are so excited for your music. I'm telling you, we've got some great fans that are out here in Canada, but we've got some really wonderful international listeners that are excited about you in Australia.
Oh, that's awesome. That's two of my goals. We've done some international work here as of late, and we're always trying to expand out and get to see and come to new places.
Wouldn't it be great for you to be out there and being able to play some of this music this summer, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'd love to.
One of the goals, it's coming, right? That one's going to be coming, I'm sure, within the next year.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we can get out there next year as well. We got some listeners in Ireland, Belize, and some other Central American places. So we're getting around a bit. So hopefully we can add Canada and Australia on there as well.
Well, we're going to add you to Canada right now, and we have international listeners in all those places that you just mentioned right there. So we're going to be spreading that word for you and getting your music out there.
Well, I certainly appreciate it.
Let's do a quick introduction so that fans that may not have heard your music will get a little bit of a background for you. Now, you grew up in Kentucky, and you started playing guitar at, what, 11 years age?
Yeah, I got my first one when I was 10, but I really started playing it when I was 11 and 12 and really got into it.
Now, both your parents play, and I know your dad, I think he was touring in studio bass player, right?
Yep, that's what he did for a long time when I was growing up. My mom is just a wonderful singer and plays as well. And I kind of took it a step further with the songwriting and started writing my own songs in my teen years and kind of gave it a little break for the military. And once I got out of the military, I came right back into country music.
This album is pretty special, and we're going to get into that a little bit later when it comes to the veterans. I think your parents also cut an album too, right? Or cut a few of them?
My dad and my uncle cut a record back in, I think, 98, and still one of my favorite albums to this day. And they were always in the studio and always getting after music and doing stuff. So I grew up with it in my house, so I was constantly playing with them or bonfires at the house, because that's kind of what we did growing up in Central Kentucky. There wasn't, too many places to go or vacation-y things to do around where we lived. So, we had friends over and just played music.
And it's pretty special. Those are my favorite memories, is sitting around the bonfire and just pulling out the guitars and just playing those acoustics and just having those really special jam nights, you know, just with family and friends.
It was absolutely special to me. It still is. Every time I get a chance to go back home and do that with them, I always take that opportunity.
They must be so proud of you, knowing it's not an easy thing to do, to break into this industry, and they would know that as well, being touring musicians and studio musicians. It's not easy, and they just must be thrilled to see everything opening up for you.
I love my parents so much, and they've been nothing but supportive all, you know, since we started going to Nashville and really getting into it. They were, you know, behind me 100% the whole time, and you know, I also offer some ideas and stuff for, you know, when I'm playing, and I always send my dad the music first and let him give me his 2 cents on it. And you know, he's got a lot of knowledge and experience, so it helps me out whenever I'm working on new stuff.
You need it as you go along, people that have been in this industry, people that have that experience, and people that you can trust for advice, because that's one of the biggest things, is to be able to surround yourself, you know, with people that you know and love and that really support you and have your best interests at heart, especially in this industry.
Oh, that's a fact. I mean, our team is great, from management to PR to radio promotions. Everybody on our team is just, you know, you finally meet the folks that have your back and that understand your music and what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it. And, you know, having this team together to help me has really pushed this album, you know, to further places than we've never been before. And I can't say how much I appreciate everybody that's worked with us, from producers to the songwriters, everybody that's touched hands on this album and that has believed in me for the last 2 years while we were coming up with it through the pandemic and through the lockdowns, and you know, where we couldn't play, you know, we were just writing and you know, preparing for the day that we got to go back out and play again.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's been kind of waiting for that, and I think there's so much that you learn along the way. Talk about your biggest influences in music with your parents. What did you listen to in the house? Who was the ones that they gravitated to?
I mean, a lot of Hank Jr. Thin Lizzy, surprisingly, is a big favorite of mine. Tracy Lawrence and Clay Walker and all these 90s guys, Red Atkins, all these guys have had big influences on me in the way I write, the way I play, and mostly the way I sing, because that's just the songs I grew up with and the ones that I learned and the ones that I know now, the ones that we, you know, if we're doing cover songs somewhere, that, you know, it's probably going to be one of those 90s country songs.
Mm-hmm. It's nice when you get your own body of work when you're doing these shows now. And I know that, you know, you've been doing this a while. And when you finally get there, when you've got such an amazing team behind you, they believe in your music, they believe in who you are, it really changes your focus on what your original dream was and what you thought success was when you're looking at the whole dream of the music industry and coming into it and to where you are now. Could you tell us what that difference is for you and what you thought it was back then and where you are now and what you think success is after going through the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, success, when you're young and coming in there, you know, you think you're going to be the big stadium artist and, you know, out there doing that stuff. And, you know, you think it goes from 0 to 90, you know, and really it's, you know, the success that we have is one day at a time, every fan we make, getting, you know, when people are singing your songs at your shows and coming up and buying your T-shirts and really just having a job and being able to work is the successful part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, without our friends like you and country radio and the fans that come to the shows, you know, we don't have a job. So
well, you appreciate all those little things, because those are the real triumphs, and being able to appreciate those in the moment, living that moment. And those are snippets of time that when you're so busy and you hit the mark and all of a sudden you're just thrown into it, you don't know how long you're going to be in it, and you forget
a
lot.
You don't know how long it'll last.
Yeah, exactly. And you forget You know, you forget to live in that moment. And if you can't turn around and picture that exact moment where you're on that stage in certain locations and just hearing the fans singing that stuff back and knowing your words to your songs, and those are such special times. And when you don't know how long, you know, that dream, that ride's going to last, you want to be able to remember every little bit of it.
Especially with the thing that happened with the pandemic. And you know, March 14th, 2020 will live in my brain for the rest of my life.
Mm.
It was the last show we played before my entire touring schedule was canceled in 3 days. And, you know, we had talked to the label and to the managers, and they were like, you know, just hold on, give it 2 weeks, and you know, we'll get everything back, you know, rolling again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 2 years passed.
Nobody saw that coming, not in our generation, right?
I mean, and it just makes me more grateful now to have the opportunities that I have to get my music back out there, and the, you know, for the team to come back, and everybody's ready to work, and everybody's excited to work again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all, you know, may before the pandemic possibly have maybe took for granted what we were doing and what we were getting to do as a job and as work. And now it's, you know, you're just thankful for every day you wake up and you get to strap a guitar on or go in the studio or get to talk to somebody about your music or even the messages you get from your fans and say, hey, I love this song and I can't wait to come to a show on Friday. I'm just happy that there's a show on Friday for them to come to.
It's nice when you can strip back all the noise, isn't it? And you might not have appreciated it when it first happened, you know, because you were building that momentum, you were having great success and being able to get out there and play. And it's such a heartbreak to have everything come to a halt like that, because you're building fan bases on the streaming platforms. They're getting to know your music. And then everybody was so concerned that they'd be forgotten along the way, and having to learn how to reconnect with fans, being able to do that, whether it's, you know, on a streaming platform, whether or not you're doing it online, is just not an easy place to be for an artist, especially when you're starting out and just getting that momentum and fans building around the world. And I know that that's not an easy thing, but when you strip back all the noise, at the same time, you get something pretty beautiful out of it when we've had to go through
agree.
All this. Yeah. Tell us what that was like for you.
I agree, because the record that we've made, that we've put out, is, it's very personal to me, because a lot of these songs I wrote during the pandemic. And, you know, I spent the pandemic back home in Kentucky, away from Nashville, and just cleared my head out. And I live in a very small town, and everybody knows each other. And we spent a lot of time out fishing and just being outside, you know, because you can't coop yourself up in the house with the pandemic. So, you know, where everybody can be around each other, you know, you can be out on the river and, you know, stay pretty far away and don't feel like you're so alone. And I think all those things, that reconnecting with where I'm from and really getting into it, helped me write this record that I'm absolutely in love with. I think my whole team agreed this is the best stuff we've done so far, and looking forward to finally letting people hear it.
Well, when you can take back those moments when you started chasing this dream and the love of writing, because I think songwriting was first for you, wasn't it, before singing?
Before we started out playing shows and stuff, you know, we'd go up and play the local bar or whatever, but it was the passion was always writing. That's what I always loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
the coming, like, I know you worked so hard at your vocals and you know, working on that aspect of it so that you would be able to deliver the songs that you've been writing, and how important that is to you. And when you're able to go back to the place where you learn to love music, it's funny, you know, when you look at your roots and you look at where you came from, your parents, all the influences, and being able to look at that and say, you know what, this is why I loved music. And I think that's really paid off during this pandemic and the downtime that you did have, and being able to really tap into that vulnerability, you know. And that makes a big difference.
I'm glad to see it, too, because I've so many of my buddies are releasing new music. They also did in the pandemic, and a lot of friends are putting out good records. And I think really this year and next year is going to be you know, some of the best music that's going to come out, because this, you know, there was a really emotional time for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what writing's about, is tapping into that stuff. And I think that we're going to get a generation of music out of the pandemic. It's just going to be really killer.
I think so too. I've already seen it. And I know people were having writer's block. A lot of people were really nervous because they didn't have the energy to connect. And when you're out on the road, you get to talk to so many different artists, different fans, you get to hear different stories. And that's where you guys draw a lot of your inspiration from when it comes to writing music. And when you don't have that, everybody was really scared to even sit down and put pen to paper.
I don't think I felt that way. When I got home, it was like, okay, I'm back in the country now. Let's write a country music album.
Mm.
And plus, you know, I was bored. I was really bored. So I had that guitar in my hand every single day. And I mean, there was a couple weeks that I was writing 5 or 6 songs a week, and just filling up my catalog as much as I could. Hoping that, you know, because at that time we had no idea we were going to be able to go back in the studio and take these songs in there. So I was just like writing and writing and writing. And I was like, well, maybe we'll get 10 or 12 songs we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And after it all panned out and the studios opened back up, I had talked to my team and they were like, now's the time. Let's get in there and let's cut these songs. And ended up having a lot of great, great help on it. You know, I was Skype writing with some folks in Nashville. I'd write a couple songs or whatever, and then I'd get on Skype and we'd go over the songs and then we'd rewrite them together. And it was nice in that period of time to be able to still work with my friends in town,
mm-hmm.
or in Nashville, and you know, be far away, but you know, glad to see that everybody's spirits wasn't so rough, that you know, we all held it together and just kept pushing. And I'm glad to see a lot of my friends that were there before the pandemic are still there and still releasing music. And I know it hurt a whole lot of folks, but, you know, a lot of us really stuck it out and tried to make the best out of it.
Those are true songwriters, like really true songwriters and storytellers, because if you're depending on songs coming in, being pitched to you, it's a lot more nerve-wracking when you're not out there meeting the fans and things like that. For you, you're, like you said, you tapped into that vulnerability, you tapped back into being at home, and just that's where you fell in love with writing in the first place. And it just makes a huge, huge difference. Yeah. Can you remember what it was like when you first went to Nashville and when you were first chasing this dream and when you got your first, I think it was She Does, I think it was, what, 2014, somewhere in there?
Yep, that was the first Nashville record. I was terrified.
In comparison to where you are now, what does it feel like now? Because when you get your first, you ended up with 3 or 4 songs, I think, when you met with the manager and you released independently, believing in your writing then, in comparison to what it feels like now with this album.
Well, it's night and day different than because, you know, as years go by, you kind of grow up with your own music and grow up with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you get to write with more experienced writers, you know, you get more and more of that experience yourself, and it rubs off on you. And now I feel better about my writing and confident in my writing, as opposed to, you know, where I'd write a song and I wouldn't let nobody hear it.
Mm.
And now I'm sure I speak for my manager and publisher and everything whenever I say that. I send them 5 or 6 songs in 2 or 3 days, and I get on a spurt or something. They're like, man, calm it on down, man. We ain't even listened to the 3 that we sent already.
Well, I'm sure he's really happy about that.
My manager, Mike Crafty, he's great. A guy in charge of publishing over there, Jason Morris, has been in the publishing industry. He's a great song guy, and his ears are just perfect. You know, he knows good songs, and he's been able to help me a lot in, you know, critiquing things that maybe it's not my strong suit, but helping me grow as a writer. And as well as Mike, he spent a lot of time as a general manager over at Sony Records for a long time, and
nice.
The guy's got a set of ears on him too, so you know, they know hit songs, and they're able to tell me, hey, that's good, or that's not so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes a difference. It does make a difference. And when you're in the studio, what they can do with a song you wrote, a lot of the time when it comes back out and you finished recording, it's just like you don't even have any clue that a song could be changed or moved in the way that they do it. It's just insane how great of an ear they have.
Oh, yeah. Along with Bill and Buddy Cannon, both the producers on this record were incredible. You know, Bill's done a lot of great work, and he's been with me a long time since we started the first Dustin Collins EP that came out. And him coming in and helping, and then bringing Buddy Cannon, who's legendary. You know, he's worked Jamie Johnson and all of Kenny Chesney's records. And these guys just, they take what I want or what I have, the vision in my mind, and they make it real. And it's
bringing
incredible
it
to just get to be in the same room with these guys.
Pretty awesome. And that's amazing. Tell us about meeting Bill for the first time.
I had a label buddy in North Carolina. Gosh, it's been years now.
But because he believed in you right from the beginning, didn't he?
Oh yeah. Well, he had said, "I got this producer friend that you need to meet," and so I called Bill, and we set up a meeting and played him some songs, and he said, "Yeah, we can do this." And I think we were in the studio a week later, cutting three sides, and ever since then, I think he told me one time we were recording in there, and he said, "Hey, try that again, but don't suck so bad." And I laughed, he laughed, and ever since then, me and him, you know, we've been able to work together, because it was one of those funny icebreakers for a nervous kid in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your biggest fear is somebody to tell you suck real bad, and when somebody says it just to be funny, you know, it kind of just takes that whole thing out of the realm, and then you can get back to work. You take that cloud over your head, and you know, Bill's just kind of funny like that, and he's made me the vocalist that I am, just, you know, not letting me skip and cheat and making me hit the right notes and the action, you know, even if I don't want to do this run here, because I'm like, "Oh, that's hard," and he's like, "Well, you know, music's not easy," and we get through it, and he's made me 10 times the vocalist. And sometimes I like to listen to those old albums and then listen to this new one and just see how far it's really come.
Pretty amazing when you can hear that difference, right? Trying to lay down the tracks and your vocals and how hard, you know, Bill works at that. But I know that with Bill McDermott, he's just such an amazing ear, and he just knows music so well. But he also knows you personally, and he can hear and tell exactly where your vocals can go, and you may not even know that yet, and you're going to learn and continue to learn and grow, you know, vocally. And it's just incredible to see what he's done with you. It's just incredible.
It's to me, even, you know, listening, and I'm my own worst critic, so I listen to like she does, and you know, I'm like, "Man, it sounds like a kid made that." And you know, a kid did make that, and now is a, you know, a grown up, and having worked with Bill for so long, he's just helped me so much, you know, from the time when before this most recent label deal here, and putting this album out, you know, he said, you know, "It's time for us to call in some big guns and really hit this over the head." And you know, he made that call for me to Buddy Cannon. You know, that's not an easy guy to get a hold of.
No.
And he sent him some of the sides on the record, and I just asked him, like, "You got any interest in working with this kid?" And surprise, he said, Bill sent me the text where a buddy had texted him and said, "Yeah, I'll work with him." And
wow.
I was floored in my living room. I was like, "Holy crap, this is about to happen."
Well, two industry legends, right? That's pretty amazing.
I was so nervous. You know, I've been in the studio 100 times since then, and I was so nervous that day when I came in there. I almost lost my keys in my Tahoe.
Oh, no.
At the studio. And my head wasn't even in it, and I finally got in there, and I got to talking to Buddy, and he's just such a nice, nice, awesome guy. But, you know, these producers have a way of calming you down and getting the best out of you,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's what makes them so good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, they just know artists and how to get you out of your own head and get you in the game to actually do the job that you came there to do and not waste a whole bunch of time.
Well, they definitely did that. This EP is just so special. Let's talk about all 10 songs on this album, including the title track, Working Man. Talk about coming up with this one, because this is such an important EP for you.
Working Man was crazy, because a couple years ago, we had already released a song, but we hadn't promoted it or anything like that. I had a friend of mine from an agricultural podcast, and he had called me and he said, "Hey, I'm about to start doing this podcast for Fastline," which is the biggest trader of, they do agricultural sales for like combines and tractors and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. he was going to do a podcast relating to country lifestyle, and he wanted to include country music and a bit of everything to do with agricultural and rural life. And he said, "Can you write me a song for a theme song?" And I was like, "Yeah." I said, "What do you want it to be about?" And he said, "Tractors." And I was like, "Yeah, I could write a song about a tractor." I was like, "I see them every day." So I got off the phone with him. I think 30 minutes later, I called him back. I said, "What do you think of this?" And he said, "This is fantastic." And we took it to the studio the next week. So I'm pretty sure it's like the quickest turnaround on me writing a song and taking it to the studio that we've ever done.
Nice. And, nice. Because you worked with songwriter Steve Bogart on this one too, right?
Me and Steve have wrote another version of it, and we'll be getting that out pretty soon as well.
Very cool. Well, this one, we're going to play it right now. Here is the title track, Working Man, by country artist Dustin Collins, here on Music's Journey.
John Deere to New Holland, just look at the load I'm hauling. Hard work, I hit it harder. Ain't nothing new for a backwoods farmer. Sun up to sundown, backing up traffic all the way to town. Camo hat and a farmer's tan, 'cause I'm a working man. Crows, I'm in the truck back on the road, early to rise when there's dollars to make. I learned it all from my old man, built our house with his bare hands when he got back in 68. John Deere, New Holland, just look at the load I'm hauling. Hard work, hit it harder, ain't nothing new for a back. Sun up to sundown, backing up traffic all the way to town. Camo hat and a farmer's tan, 'cause I'm a working man. Rolling good old boys out baling hay, long haul guys on the interstate. It's who we are and it's how we're raised. Don't know a thing about how to quit. Gotta grind it out until it's whipped. Putting money in the bank. John Deere to New Holland. Just look at the load I'm hauling. Hard work, hit it harder. Ain't nothing new for a backwoods farmer. Sun up, sun down. Backing up traffic all the way to town. Camo hat. Backwoods farmer, sun up, sun down, backing up traffic on the
That was Working Man, the title track of the upcoming album by country artist Destin Collins. Really special album. There's some really cool songs with some amazing artists that have written on this one as well. So we're going to be talking all about that. But don't forget, you can download Working Man and you can add it to your playlist. So you can get it on all your streaming platforms, and you can also request it at your country local radio station as well. So don't forget that. I love this song, and it's got to mean so much to so many people right now. Have you heard any feedback for some stories that really touched your heart for this one?
I just love it that I get in my story sometimes, you know, that some of the farm, especially from back home where I live, and just seeing people jamming it like in their tractors or in their combines, whether combine in their field or out planting or spraying, and that it just tickles me to death that to see them rocking out, especially the TikTok videos. Those are particularly my favorite.
It's amazing what people do with your songs, right?
Oh yeah, I love it. You know, the feedback's been really great. It's got out to streaming now, and then it's doing real well.
There's a lot of writers on this one too, so I know that you wrote a few yourself and co-wrote. Now, talk about everybody that's on this particular album that have written songs.
You know, we've got Steve Bogard, who's, you know, he's done Every Mile of Memory and a bunch of great, I can't even tell you how many good songs Steve wrote, along with Will Rambo and Cherie Austin, who is an Australian. So
she does Blake Shelton, right? She's worked on, yes. I think, Starting Fires, I think it was, if I remember.
There's a couple of songs on my, especially the duet with Ashton Shepherd that I co-wrote with her and Will, that it wasn't originally, I had wrote it as just a song. It wasn't a duet at all. And I had sent it to Cherie and Will, and was like, what do you guys think about this for a duet? And Cherie just went to town on it. And when she sent it back, I was like, man, this is killer. So we got on the Skype and we finished it out and brought Ashton in to sing the vocals on it. And it just killed it. You know, that song's one of my favorites on there. Gone, wrote with a friend of mine named Kevin Jaggers. He's an up-and-coming artist as well. He's an incredibly talented writer. And he was going through a pretty rough breakup. And he's younger than I am, so he's not had as much time to deal with breakups like I have. So I was like, there's only one way to do this. I said, grab you some margarita mix. I'll grab some bourbon. I'll come up to the house, and we're just going to write a song. And you know, that's a good song. And of course, I've got some one cut on this record that's fantastic. There's two cuts. I cut one of Bill's songs that I've always loved that him and Brett Eldridge wrote, that a knockout, Like Right Now, which is one of my favorites. I keep on saying one of my favorites, but they're all my favorites right now. You know what I mean? Like,
well, because this is so personal. Yeah, because like this one means something so special to you, and that's why I can't wait for fans to be able to hear it. And it's just such a special body of work and a special project. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, when I do songs and cut other artist songs, but and 90% of the time they're my friends' songs, but I've had for years. Mm-hmm. You know, when she had Georgia on her mind, two of my really good friends, Eldon Huff, who wrote over at Sony for a long time, and then Bo Allen, I think he was over at Major Bob's Publishing for a while. And these guys are just outstanding writers, and I wrote songs with both of them. Mm-hmm. But they had sent me Georgia probably 5 years ago, and it's been sitting in my inbox. And I was going through songs, and I was listening to a lot of Kenny Chesney because we had the Buddy Cannon production meeting coming up. And that song, I found it in my inbox and I listened to it. I was like, let's put this song on this record. And I sent it to everybody and they were like, yes, this is a killer song. And we just thought it was like right in that 90s wheelhouse of my influences and stuff. And when we got out of the studio with it, we were all just, you know, really, really excited about it.
And they created some magic with this one. Here's the second song we're going to be playing right now. And that's the brand new single, When She Had Georgia on Her Mind, by singer-songwriter Destin Collins, here on Music's Journey.
Met a girl in Saginaw, and she fell in love with my Georgia drawl. We Lover took me up there last spring. She got a kick out of watching my mouth when I'd say things we'd say down south. Funniest things you'd ever heard or seen. Oh, I miss her and wish she was here in Savannah and we could be watching the sunset dancing on the sand to the music of an old blues band, singing all those old sweet songs. She would have crossed that Mason-Dixon line. We'd be falling in love on the beach tonight. Instead of dreaming about the time, she had Georgia on her mind. She calls me sometimes to talk about all those warm spring nights. We stayed out till the sun came. Who knows if we had a few more days, maybe she would have left or I would have stayed. We took that chance life gave us. Oh, I still miss her, wish she was here beside me on this front porch swing. Fireworks on the 4th of July, catching up on all we've missed. I know this is now and that was then, but if I could do it all again, I would. I'd go back to the time when she had Georgia on her mind.
That was When She Had Georgia on Her Mind by country artist Dustin Collins with Eric Etheridge that wrote part of the song too. So incredible, incredible song. Love it. This is something that is just going to skyrocket. We just want to remind fans that you can download When She Had Georgia on Her Mind on all the streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and you can request it at your local country radio station. There is something so, so special about this one. And I know there's quite a few of the songs on here that I just can't wait for fans to hear, but they're going to have to wait a little bit longer. And this one is being released right now. I thought it was such a cool, cool song. Love this one. Really nice.
Well, thank you so much.
This album and working with Gummy Camp, talk about that.
My military service was very supportive in nature. I was an aircraft mechanic and never deployed overseas, but I had so many friends that did. Mm-hmm. And it directly affected me seeing these guys come back and you know, the mental health issues that people face. And sometimes, you know, the separation from service can be so extreme on people that it broke my heart for a long time, and always thought nobody was doing anything about it. And of course, you know, veteran suicide is very important, and we need to raise awareness and keep these things out there. So, you know, we got a whole generation of people coming back home, and Gummy Camp is providing actual shelters for homeless veterans that have no place to go. They're helping them get their lives back on track, offering substance abuse counseling and help with their VA paperwork. And they're just really doing something wonderful for people that, you know, were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. And that's why I love Gummy Camp, and I'm proud to be helping raise awareness about what these guys are doing.
Mm-hmm. And it's so incredible. And you can't say enough for organizations like this that just don't get the recognition. A lot of people don't even know they exist. So it's really nice that you're doing this, because there's part of the proceeds, you know, when it comes to the single that you've put out, and that is the title track, and that's Working Man, that is being given to them as well. You're also doing a lot of shows for them coming up too, right?
Yeah, we'll be doing some shows for them. We'll be out touring a bit. We just got back from Colorado. We're heading out to Belize here again, New York City, Los Angeles, San Diego. We'll be a little bit of everywhere. We'll be doing some homegrown Kentucky stuff too. We're really excited about getting to come home and play a big show back home, and just getting back out on the road. I love it. You know, there's nothing better than going out eating good food and playing music.
Is there a special kind of, like, for the band? And when you get everybody back together, it's really exciting, especially after, you know, not being able to play live music for so long, but getting everybody back together in the band and hitting the road. Is there a special spot that you like to go to, you know, for food?
Yeah, it's mostly PA.
Oh, yeah?
Travel America pilots, but if we're in the Southeast, we love oysters.
Mm.
So we hit every oyster house we could possibly get to.
Really?
And then out west, we get the Midwest, you know, Casey's. we love Casey's pizza. I don't know. I love it. Brad loves it. Tony loves it. We're all about Casey's pizza. Regular old run-of-the-mill gas station pizza, but we love it.
Well, you know what? When you're on the road, trust me, there's just special spots that just mean something. And you know what? It's just when you're together with the guys, and you know, you're just out on the road, just that feeling all together. You guys are going to be ecstatic to be able to deliver. You know.
Now the award for the best gas station though has to go to Bucky's. So if you're ever in the Southeast, you got to hit a Bucky's.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. What is your favorite summertime drink?
Bush Light.
Bush Light. There we go. Very cool. All right. So we've got a couple songs that we're going to talk about, because I only can mention a few of them, I guess. But you've got the duet that we talked about, and that's with Ashton Shepherd. So that one's pretty cool. And that's Probably Shoulda. So we're going to, hopefully fans can take a listen to that one very soon. Do you know when these ones are going to be coming out?
I think after Georgia, I believe that we got Probably Shoulda slated to come out after that one.
Nice. So maybe in the summer still?
Yeah, we're thinking somewhere in July or early August we'll have that one out. Of course, we're sending Georgia, when she had Georgia on her mind, Major Market Radio this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be doing a lot of focus on this song coming forward, and it's really getting out to the radio stations and talking to people and spreading the message as far as we can. But mm-hmm. we're also looking forward to getting this duet out, because I've never done one before, and it's just a really cool song.
When you guys recorded the duet, did you do it, like, I know that with the technology right now, you don't even need to be in the same place, you can record your vocals separately, but how did you do that, or did you get together?
We both went in there, and we did the pre-production in the morning. I did all the production with the track and with the band. Me and Bill went in and cut the tracks, and then Ashton came in for vocals, and we just got in there and we sang the thing, and you know, just fed off the energy and really just nailed it. And I mean, I can't say what a good job she's done. She's got an amazing voice. If you've never heard her, check out Ashton Shepherd. She's got great music out there, but
It's different when you're doing the vocals, isn't it, to be able to match each other, because a lot of people don't understand, you know, how difficult it is to do a duet.
Absolutely. I mean, just catching the harmonies in the little moments and staying as good as this one come out. And I give Ashton all the credit in the world for that, because I sang my vocal part first and she came on top of it and ripped it. But, you know, she's a real pro and really has got a voice on her, and I think our voices matched up well, and the song just came out really good.
Oh, can't wait for that one to come out as well. You got some special music. There's another one that I really liked as well, and that was My Old Man.
Yep, that's one that we're saving here for a little while. We're thinking we didn't get to it for Father's Day this year, but I'm thinking Father's Day next year we will put out My Old Man.
Mm. That's what I was thinking. It's like the perfect Father's Day song. So I wasn't sure if you guys are going to be doing that or not. So, yeah.
My stepdad raised me and taught me how to play guitar and just been there my whole life. And it was just a very emotional song. And I didn't send that one out for a long time. That's actually the oldest song on the record. I've had that for about a year. And I got with Will and Cherie, and I showed them for the first time and was like, hey, can y'all help me try to express, you know, an emotional song like that. You know, sometimes you get too attached to the lyrics, so I brought Will and Cherie in on it and just to help me polish it up a bit and to make sure that I tweaked it in a way that the music would flow and because getting emotionally attached to a song, sometimes you're like, no, I'm not changing it. And, you know, Cherie and Will are two people that I absolutely trust with my music 100% to lead me in the right direction with it.
Well, you got some special, special moments that are going to be coming up for everybody when it comes to these songs and when they get released as singles, because they are pretty special.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, because I mean, this album really does mean a lot to me and the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this one's going to be well worth the wait. Being able to release this one is just going to be a special moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already let my mom and dad hear it, and we're playing it out. So a lot of people, if you come to shows or we're doing anything like that, that song's in our set, and that's just one that you can really tell that people are connecting with.
Mm-hmm. Especially now, you know, so many people have lost, you know, so many loved ones, and people are going to attach things to not necessarily losing someone, but just moments that they've had with their parents, individual stories, personal stories that fans are going to be able to connect. And you're gonna get a lot of feedback on that one. I can guarantee it. Some really special stories throughout this whole entire album.
And that's what's important to me when we did this album was that you know we've done you know some crazy party songs, some more serious songs in the past. Big anthem, big you know anthem type, loud, proud guitar solos and rocking stuff. And this album, I really wanted to get into a country music mindset and tell stories and particularly make sure that all the stories were about me and just to make sure that everybody that listens to my music gets to know me a little bit.
People will gravitate to that in a heartbeat. Like you can have your party songs and then the next party song comes along. These are ones that, you know, if somebody really connects to a special song like that, you know, children are going to remember that. Grandchildren are going to remember that. If a parent's playing that over and over again and it means something to them, it goes for generations, and those are the moments that are your legacy. And you know, the writing, just incredible how much growth there is. You should be so, so proud of this album.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for taking the time to listen to it. And you know, just talking to you, I feel like you kind of know me a little bit from a little bit of the music.
Absolutely. And I know what it means, you know, when it comes to writing and, you know, what that feels like to be able to let something like that go. And because you're giving it out to the world and it's whatever they decide, you know, with something that means so much to you. And that's where you learn as you go. It's just whatever happens, happens. And those are snippets of time that are always going to be there. And you can never take that away. And it's just such a special, special moment. I'm really happy for you. This is just an incredible body of work for you.
Thank you.
Is it possible we can do a couple burning questions?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a guitar that you would love to own? And it could be an idol or it just could be, you know, somebody.
There's five or six of them that I'd love to own.
So which are your top ones that you would love to have? That's your bucket list of guitars.
Well, I've a couple more shows here. I believe I'm going to make this dream come true. But I've always wanted a Gibson Jumbo. I just love the big body sound of that. I mean, it's a heavy guitar and stuff, but you can't beat the full body sound that comes out of that thing.
I can guarantee.
And I play a Hummingbird right now, so I'm used to a good bodied guitar, and nice. I love Gibson products, all of them. But the Jumbo is something I've always wanted. It's just been a little pricey for me. Oh, yeah, that's working towards that goal right now.
Is there an artist that you would love? Like
somebody? I just got the eyeballs from my significant other.
Gotcha.
she just threw the glance on me. She's like, stay out of that Guitar Center card.
She's going, oh, no, you don't. Is there an artist that means so much to you that when you listen as a storyteller yourself, somebody that stood out to you that you would just love to be able to own one of those guitars that one of those special songs was played on?
Oh, it's Tracy Lawrence, no doubt.
Nice. Okay.
You know, that I don't think there's a single bad Tracy Lawrence song, and that guy's just meant the world to me since I've started playing music, and just every song, you know, every song that he does, I love. And that's
do you have a favorite?
That's my.
Do you have a favorite of Tracy Lawrence?
If the world had a front porch, is my favorite, probably my favorite song ever.
Nice. Do you have a favorite song that's on the top of your playlist right now?
Oh, we'll see. We'll see what's on the top of the playlist.
Let's see what's on there.
Blackhawk.
Nice. Very nice.
Every once in a while.
Very cool. All right.
I've seen them at CMA Fest and got to meet them a couple years ago, and ever since then, I just downloaded every song they had. I've just been blasting Blackhawk in my truck rolling down the road.
Nice. Do you remember your mom's favorite song? One that she would play over and over again?
Me and Bobby McGee by Janis Joplin.
Oh, very cool. So you got a lot of rock influence in there, too. What about
your
dad?
Oh, yeah. And, my dad, man, he liked so much stuff. It's hard to pinpoint anything down, but he's a real big Bon Scott, AC/DC era guy. But I can tell you my favorite song that he sings is Jim Croce, Operator.
Oh, what a great song. That's such a great song. So much history.
I mean, he just knocked it out of the park.
Wow. See, now I heard that, you know, if he, wouldn't that be a great Father's Day gift if you released your dad's album?
Oh, yeah.
It's a streaming platform for him to hear. That would be so cool.
Oh, I never even thought about that. Yeah, maybe I have to do something like that, do like an acoustic version of it.
Yeah, because you can't release My Old Man this year. But wouldn't that be a cool gift for your father? Not a lot of time for you to do it, but it would
I just don't know if I can do it as good as he does. Yeah.
But it would mean so much to him, wouldn't it? That would be such a cool gift. If you could do a collaboration with any artist in the world, who would it be and why?
I'd have to say either Tracy or Hardy.
Mm, very cool.
Love me some Hardy.
Is there a stage, like I know that a lot of artists will pick, you know, a big stage, but a lot of the time the best moments are on the smaller stages where it's very intimate audience. Is there a place that you just would love to be able to just pick up a guitar and just play just you, no band, just you? Where would it be and why?
I mean, the Ryman, you know, the most iconic place in country music. If I could just have an hour in there by myself, I'd love it.
Nice. Very nice. Is there...
You know, every time you walk in there, it just feels, you know, you get goosebumps on your neck.
I don't know what it is. It's just like you could hear a pin drop and everybody's just glued, you know, to every
lyric.
It's not
a real big room. It's beautiful, and the history there is just iconic.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes, you know, those moments so special when you have those. So those will stay with you for the rest of your life. And yeah. Hopefully you can make that one happen really soon. You just never know.
Now, big stages there. I've got a dream list. You know, the Opry is the first one, but just came back from Colorado, and Red Rocks out there is a man. What an amazing place to see a show.
A lot of people love that place. I haven't been there yet. But I hear that, you know, that comes from so many of the artists that absolutely love that.
But yeah, that whole Colorado area is just, I mean, it's knockout beautiful.
I love Colorado, period. Just absolutely love
it,
that
it's
place.
It's amazing. It was my first time in Colorado, and get to play a show out there and just see everything just really, really was awesome.
Can you imagine how much writing you would do out in a place like that?
Oh, I don't know if I'd get much writing done. I'd have that fishing pole in my hand the whole time.
What's your favorite kind of fish to catch?
I'm a crappie fisherman, but we did some fly fishing out in Colorado and caught a bunch of trout. And I can see where fly fishing, where the attractiveness comes from. Because I think they've converted me, I think.
Nice.
I'm ready to go get a fly rod and try to do it out here in Kentucky.
Something so peaceful. Something so peaceful. I love fishing. I grew up fishing, and it's a big part of my life. It's something I've done with my son and passed that down generations. But yeah, I just out in the water, just it's just such a peaceful place. And I could lose.
I don't think there's anything more peaceful than being out on the water and fishing.
Exactly. It's like you can shed like 10 years of your stress just in an afternoon of just being out there, right?
There's an old saying, a bad day on the water is still better than a good day at work.
So true. That is so true. So true. What is your favorite barbecue meal now that it's summertime coming?
Well, now we're getting into some heavy U.S. politics.
Oh, boy.
There's a big argument between Tennessee, Kansas City, North Carolina, and Texas. But I'm kind of a Kansas City pulled pork guy. I mean, that's some good stuff.
Well, you know what? It's one of our favorites
I like
out here.
Spicy.
You like it spicy?
Oh, yeah. A little spice in the sauce. you know, Nashville's trying to do barbecue now. They got some really good barbecue joints in Nashville. But they're a hot chicken place. Kansas City's where the barbecue's at. And it's not to cut Memphis or North Carolina short. They still got good stuff. But I'm just partial to the Kansas City stuff.
There you go. Okay. What's your favorite thing to do with your significant other? Something that you guys do together when you aren't playing music?
We watch movies and we like to play darts.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. Does she beat you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Do you let her beat you?
Not very often, but she does pull an upset every now and then.
Well, she's going to have to pull one up, you know, for me. She's going to have to.
It depends on what the game is. A little 501, she'll sneak one in there. She still hasn't beat me in cricket yet, but I'm sure it's coming.
Does she have a favorite artist right now that she loves on the radio?
Oh, I hope so.
besides you, does she have a very favorite?
She's a big Wallen fan.
Gotcha. His new stuff
is
amazing.
He's all about Morgan Wallen.
Oh, his new stuff is incredible. I love my Chris Stapleton. I can't get enough of him. He's just amazing.
Man, Stapleton is he is a staple on my playlist.
No, he's always going to be on mine, I think. Just one of those amazing singers that just can just deliver.
I mean, I got to meet him a long time ago. We were at a show and playing in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we rolled up to the Spillway Bar and Grill where he was in a band called the Johnson Brothers.
I remember that.
And it was like at the same time that he was in the Steel Drivers before he had released his big album. And I'd already knew who he was because of songwriting and stuff. And I was like, that's Chris Stapleton. And you just such a nice guy.
He's so down
and,
to earth.
You know, he's from my home city, Kentucky, too. So that gives him big brownie points for me.
There you go. Okay, so fun question. That's our last question. What is your best, most useless talent? If your significant other's there and you don't give me a really good answer, I'm going to ask her.
Best useless talent?
Yeah.
I
bet you she can answer that one.
I think all my
quick.
Talents are useful, but, you know, I'm really good at getting fishing poles untangled.
Oh, wow.
Like it's not useless, but I mean, it's not really useful in the real world, but I can get knocked out of anything. I think it's because I'm my best talent is getting them tangled up in the first place.
There you go. I was going to say, you probably do that one really well. can you throw?
Oh, yeah, those open face reels, I can throw one and screw it up in a heartbeat.
Okay, so there's a really good useless talent. There you go. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and congratulations with your upcoming album and your two singles that are out right now. It's just amazing to finally be able to talk to you, and I am really excited for you for this one.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me on. Thank you.
Oh, we look forward to it, and we'll have you back, right?
Yep, I'll be back.
You kill it out there and enjoy those shows and raise some amazing funds for those veterans out there.
Yep, we're about to pack up and head to one right now.
All right, you take care. It was great talking to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, take care. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist Dustin Collins, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'll be interviewing New Moon Junction, Tegan Gaze, Andrew Hyatt, Ryan McMullen. Simone Fuller, Katie Topham, Patrick, Katie Hurt, Haley Benedict, Allie Walker, Emma Peterson, Big Wreck. We got country artist Candace from Runaway Angel that's going to be coming on the show. We got Michelle Wright, Emerson Drive, Jade Eagleson, The East Pointers, Josh Bogart, Rob Fitzgerald, Mac Rogers, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss on musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, the new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Met a girl in Saginaw, and she fell in love with my Georgia drawl. Bird took me up there last spring. She got a kick out of watching my mouth when I say things we'd say down south. Funniest things she'd ever heard or seen. Oh, I miss her and wish she was here in Savannah and we could be watching the sunset, dancing on the sand to the music of an old blues band, singing all those old sweet songs. If she would have crossed that Mason-Dixon line, we'd be falling in love on the beach tonight. Instead of dreaming about time, she had Georgia on her mind. Calls me sometimes to talk about all those warm spring nights we stayed out till the sun came up. Who knows if we had a few more days, maybe she would have left or I would have stayed. We took that chance life gave us. Oh, I still miss her, wish she would here beside me on this front porch swing, watching the lightning bugs go racing by like fireworks on the 4th of July, catching up.